My source of joy is being in pursuit of something. If I'm not in pursuit of something, then that's when I start getting down. Then I'm not who I need to be, or who I need to show up for my family, or myself, or anything. So being in pursuit of whatever it is what makes me thrive. This is episode number 31 with Mother Hustler, IFBB Pro, ISSA/ACSM Nutritionist, Christy Tauti. Hey mamas, welcome to the Being Mother Hustler podcast. I'm your host, Mother Hustler, Kareen Mills. I'm a mama of two boys, founder of a tribe called Mother Hustler Nation, co-founder of the Game Changers Global Network, an insurance professional turned lifestyle entrepreneur, keynote speaker, and author. Each and every week, I'm bringing you stories and thoughts from mom entrepreneurs who will inspire you to take massive, imperfect action, unapologetically chase your dreams, and eradicate your excuses so you can quit treating your business like a hobby and turn your side hustle into full-time income. I know being Mother Hustler is not easy, but sisters, we are making it happen even in this beautiful mess. Thank you so much for being present with me today. Now let's go mother the world. Mother Hustlers, what's up? It's your sister and fellow Mother Hustler, Kareen Mills. Ladies, one of the most common questions I receive from all of you is about podcasting. What did you do? How did you do it? How do you record an episode? Where do I get background music and transition music? When do you begin to monetize it? Well, today is your lucky day. I'm revealing my top secret. Are you ready? The answer to every single one of your questions is really simple. Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for launching, recording, hosting, distributing, and monetizing your podcast. The best of all, it's 100% free and ridiculously user-friendly. I use the Anchor app on my iPhone to record solo episodes when I'm on the go in my car in between kids' sporting events and business appointments. So be sure to download the handy dandy Anchor app. Or you may go to anchor.fm to get an even larger menu of features or customize your podcast. I use anchor.fm to produce my episodes with guests. Now, eradicate those excuses, take massive imperfect action, and launch your podcast. Christy Tauti is an IFBB professional figure athlete in the bodybuilding world, an elite Spartan athlete, and has coached many athletes at the national and professional levels. Christy and her husband, Patty, together with her two amazing children, have run their business together for 11 years. Together, they owned and operated their iPhysique gym in Oregon, where they coached bodybuilding, figure, and bikini athletes, as well as power lifters and Spartan athletes. They now live in Utah and run their iPhysique training and nutrition coaching company online. Christy has many certifications in both nutrition and personal training, as well as bachelor's degree in exercise sports science from BYU, Hawaii. She is the middle child of five girls and was born and raised in the small town of Dayton, Oregon, which allowed her to be involved in many activities. Having success at a young age was the fuel that propelled her into the pursuit of success through her adult life. Mother Hustlers, please help me in welcoming one of us smothering the world this week, Christy Tauti.
Welcome, everyone. My name is Kareen Mills, and we are fortunate today to have the wonderful, amazing, ultra-fit mom entrepreneur in the health and fitness, Christy Tauti. Welcome, Christy.
Thanks, Kareen. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you for being here and, you know, showing up the way that you do. I've looked at your social media and I love, you know, everything that you're doing. You're doing it with your family and it's like a true mother hustler, a real mother hustler.
Yeah, it's funny because when I first came across you, I saw your social media and heard about who you were. And I just heard your title, Mother Hustler. I was like, hey, that's me. I must be one of that. I didn't even know what you represented or anything, but just your title and your name was like, hey, I want to follow her.
Yeah, mother is very, you know, I mean, one of my guests from Switzerland said, you know, if you're a mother, you're already a hustler. You don't even need a title. That's for sure. So, Christy, I know you're in the health and fitness industry. You are a competitor. You're a coach. You do a lot in that space. But what I love doing is the listening to the journey of that individual. And you're a very successful influencer on your space on social media, Instagram. You have over 30,000 followings. And there's always a root to the cause, right? And I love listening to people's childhood because I think that who we are becoming and who and the path that we are taking has always started, we just don't know, in our childhood. We just don't realize that, oh, I actually have always wanted to be this and now I'm this. So tell us a little bit about your childhood, your mom. I always love to hear about your relationship with your mom and how did those journey when you were young kind of led you to the path where you are at now?
Yeah, childhood for sure is where it begins with everybody. And then after that, you make or break who you're going to be. But my childhood, of course, is very family involved. My parents have a very interesting story, and that is where I gain a lot of my strength from. They were in high school, their senior year, and they had my sister while they were in high school in April. They got married in April, and then they had my sister in May, and then they graduated from high school in June. So everybody told them, it's not going to work, you're never going to make it, because look at how you just started your adult life, right? But my parents are still together. They've raised 5 wonderful daughters, no boys. Wow. Yep. We were all raised as tomboys. But their strength and their hard work and their love and support is all that I've gained from who I am now with the childhood that I've had. I mean, they had two or three jobs each while we were growing up, always, always working. And we would go on those jobs with them. They cleaned offices. They made lollipops, you know, all different kinds of things to be able to make ends meet for us. And I'm so grateful that I was raised that way of learning hard work at a very young age.
Wow. So you're always exposed to entrepreneurship.
Yeah, in some ways. I mean, they would have their regular jobs and then they would go and have to get side jobs to make ends meet to raise all of us, right?
Yeah. We glorify side hustles now because it's such, I mean, everything is so magnified now because of social media, but it's existed for so long. Like a lot of the things that are now popping up with the hashtags, you know, side hustle and all that. I saw my mom and, you know, I didn't get my entrepreneurship from my dad, but I get it from my mother. I saw her just, like you said, making ends meet. And you had 2 parents doing that. I had 1. And, you know, and they're still together. You know, I think it's the massive amount of love my mom had for my dad has always been her compass. And it served all of us. There's 6 of us, 2 in the family, 3 boys and 3 girls. And I think in the islands, they just have a lot of kids all the time. And they, our mom was our rock. And it's what they show you is really, I think, what sticks to us. And the way that we parent, I think we take a lot of those from what, from how we were parents. So tell me about some of your parenting ways that you have really gravitated from what you learned from your own parents, and what are the new things you're bringing to the table as a parent, as well as a new generation parent, in addition to the values that your parents have taught you?
Yeah. So number one is support. And my parents, like I said, they had multiple jobs, five girls, and we all played sports, like every sport that was available. And I don't remember a game that my parents were not at. They somehow, and I still to this day don't know how they did it, one of them or both of them were at our games. We had, at one point, I was in junior high, and I had my sister on a JV basketball team. So I was playing that one, JV basketball, another one in college. And in three, in one night, there'd be three games, and they were always there. So they always let us know that what we were doing was important to them. And so that's one thing with our children, that we make them know, I only have two. And so it's easier to balance the time and let them each know that they're supported in what they do. But that's very important at a young age, to be able to know that you have somebody behind you. I actually just posted something the other day with my husband jumping over my head about who's your support and who's your rock and who's behind you. So that's
that.
Yeah, that was one important thing. And my husband is one, he's a 14th child. So he's the last of 14 kids. He grew up in the islands as well. In Samoa.
They're bored in the islands, aren't they?
Yeah, they know how to find a good way, learn how to have fun.
Yeah.
Another one is love, of course, love. My parents very much, they took time for each of us to show us that we love them. And that's one thing that I've done with my own children, and teaching them both hard love and sensitive love. Mm-hmm. If I feel like many parents sometimes get soft these days with chores or things that, you know, things that need to be done. And children don't know how to work hard, and teaching them out of a hard love, and then also having the soft love. I mean, in the morning, I shouldn't tell my daughter, remember that. Oh, sorry.
It's it's really, you know, we are our children's guide, and I think they'll be lost if we're not here, but at the same time, we really can't control them. And I think the way that I guide, and is what I'm listening and I'm hearing from you, is the way that you guide your children is also showing more like showing to them versus telling them. The other piece too is like helping them learn how to discipline, because, you know, I always tell my kids, you know, I can either discipline you, which is really not that fun. I know that because I was a kid, I was in your position before, or you can discipline yourselves. And I'll be here to guide you. For example, like they love their Fortnite. I think a lot of kids love their Fortnite. And, you know, in the morning we have checklists to finish. And today they were almost on the bad lists because they were last minute, 7:45. It's like, you got to go to the car. You got to start running through the checklist, make sure we didn't forget anything. So really like little discipline, because I think if we teach our children those little disciplines, it will just grow and accumulate over time. And I don't know about you, but how I am raising my children is that I want them to be self-sufficient, you know. I want them to be independent. I want them to think for themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. Discipline is a huge topic for me, because that's something that I learned at a young age, and that I feel like it helps what makes people very successful in life, whatever they decide to be disciplined at. And with teaching your children, I think you shouldn't just harp on them all the time. I don't want to say you shouldn't, but harping on them is not going to teach them that. But if I tell my daughter to clean her room, I will go and start cleaning it with her and telling her, doesn't it feel good to have your room clean? And then she'll start doing it. But if I sit there and yell at her all day, clean your room, why do I have to tell you? Then she's going to hate it. She's probably not going to do it. And she's going to, throughout life, feel like her boss has to harp on her before she finally has the ultimatum, yes. Right? So to be able to, one, teach them, and then two, start it with them, help them find the joy in whatever they're doing, and then they will embrace that.
Yeah, I love that. I really like that you said help them find the joy, because it is fulfilling. I mean, we all know as adults that when we do something good, even as little as making our beds, can be, you know, it, when you become productive as little as that, it's fulfilling, right? Yeah, sure. What are your kids' names?
My daughter is Talia, and she's 13. And then my son is Levi, and he just turned 7 this weekend.
Levi or Levi?
Levi. So they have Samoan names. Talia's full name is Talia Malefiafia, and that means to accept with happiness. And then Levi is Levi Atoa, and that's like the chief's drink or the water of life.
Wow. I love that. So what lesson, important lesson, has Talia, because our kids teach us lessons. Like I always tell my kids, hey, I'm learning as I'm going here. And in fact, even though you're a lot younger than me, there are certain things that I learn from you, even at a young age. So don't think that you're super young, that you're not important, that what you say is not important and what you do is not being watched, because I hang out with you guys a lot and there's a ton of things that I learn from you. And I think it also makes them feel like they're special, because oh, mom's learning from me, you know. I thought it was just one way. So what's a great lesson you learned from Talia, and then let's move on to your son, Levi.
Mm-hmm.
Levi.
Okay.
And I know that he also teaches you a different type of lesson, because you know, I have two kids too, two boys, and as much as they are brothers or sisters in your case, they're very different human beings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My daughter is a lot like my husband and my son is a lot like me. So what I've learned from her is that she's very observant. She will be quiet and she'll step back and she'll watch and observe people and take in the environment and the situation and what's going on and decide how to respond or react on that. I am very quick, like, let's do this. I'm going. And I need to learn to step back, which my husband taught me. And I tell my daughter as well. She's very observant, takes her time and does things more methodically.
Wow. That's awesome. And then you said, Levi is the, like you, really swift and quick to make a decision.
Yep. Cool. Oh, he wakes up early, like 6 a.m. He'll go to boot camp with us. He likes to get up, make his bed, get his day going, go. So he's, very, very productive as well. And in a lot of ways, he's a leader at a young age. The friends want to do what Levi wants to do. And in some ways, he's bossy. So that has taught me to help teach him that being a leader and having confidence and being somewhat bossy is important, but then you also have to learn to respect other people's opinions and feelings and take that all in as well. So
That's so cool. It's like teaching yourself too, because he's a lot like you. You know what I'm saying? So you're learning with him, because you have to behave what you teach your kids, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. When I sit back and observe, because most of his little guy friends hang out at our house, which I love, and I observe, then it teaches me, like, okay, how is a leader of a friend group doing, and how should I respond, and how am I doing that in my adult world?
Yeah. What triggered you guys, because I know you guys from Oregon, right, in my neck of the woods.
I wish I knew you then.
Yeah, I know, right? So what triggered you guys to move there? You just moved there, what, a year ago?
Yep. Well, it'll be 2 years in January.
Okay.
So we got married and met in Hawaii because we went to college there. And I brought my husband from the islands to Oregon, which was quite a transition for him.
Sorry, husband.
And so we lived there for 12 years in Oregon, which is where I'm from. And my daughter was getting ready to go into junior high. And we thought, she's Polynesian and there's not a lot of Polynesians there. We'd been in Oregon, just, we owned a gym, we had been doing our business, I'd been competing, and we just got complacent of doing, we'd reached the level of success we initially wanted, and it was like, what's next? We could feel something coming, and we knew Talia was going to get ready for junior high, and so we'd always visit Utah in the summers to visit my sisters, and it was beautiful, sunny, and seasonal, and then we just visited one time and started looking at houses, and within a couple months our house sold and we had to move, and we were like, okay, we're doing it.
Wow. So there was not really a lot of, like, you know, pressing reason other than just like, okay, we need to go next level, we need to find another place.
Yep.
Do you guys own a gym now there?
No, actually we do everything online now, and it's a huge transition in an awesome way because we work from home. I'm with my kids every time my daughter was sick, go pick her up. And my husband and I are just side by side doing everything together. We've created the life that we wanted without knowing that that was what our next step was going to be. It wasn't easy, that's for sure. Wow. The first year that we moved here. But now we're sitting in where we are and super happy. Even if life stayed where it's at, we'd be incredibly happy. But we always want to take things to the next level because our goal is to impact and impact other people's lives. So
yeah, you always want to go to the next level because I think complacency makes you bored, and being bored sometimes can lead to depression. And it's just, it's always, I'm always happy when I'm growing, whether it's painful or not.
Yeah. So you that's know? Always been my source of joy, is being in pursuit of something. If I'm not in pursuit of something, then that's when I start getting down and I'm not who I need to be or showing up for my family or myself or anything. And so being in the pursuit of whatever it is what makes me thrive.
Wow. So why health and fitness? Is there a struggle in your teenage years, early 20s, that, or have you always been that way? Because I know you've been in sports when you were young, as you're telling the story, but sometimes in our teenage years or early 20s, life happens, or we do something else that steers us in a different direction, and then we're like, you know what, I need to go back home to fitness or sports or things of that nature. How did you kind of, you know, came home here in the fitness world?
So I'm going to give you the long answer.
I love long answers.
All right. My childhood growing up was in a very small town, like one flashing light, 1500 people in the town.
Wow.
And so success at a young age is, I got addicted to it because I did jazz band, concert band, choir, FFA, 4-H, student body, every single sport there was.
And which town is this?
And I was successful at most of it because there was like 50 people in my class. So
which town?
Oh, Dayton. It's right outside of
me. Oh, yeah, I know where Dayton is.
Oh. So I got addicted to that feeling of success. And then again, with hard work, I grew up picking strawberries in junior high and cutting broccoli and doing those hard jobs, and just having to get up every day and do that and try to be happy with it was, that's discipline, right? So I fell in love with hard work, which I learned from my parents. I fell in love with being addicted to success. And I went to college. I was going to major in music, which looking back now, I am so not that person.
College is tough to pinpoint what you want. You know?
Yeah. Your first year of college, it's like, wait, what? I have to decide what I'm doing for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. So music, my first year in college, I was in the symphonic band in Idaho and decided this is not for me. And I went into just generals. And then when I did my second 2 years of college in Hawaii, I was like wanting to do more of the exercise. I started training the professors there at the gym, and I went into exercise sports science. And I was like, I love this. How could I make a career out of this? I thought I was going to be like a PE teacher. And then I graduated, and within my senior year was when I first heard about competing. And there was a local competition that was an obstacle course in Hawaii. And I said, yes, that's me. I'm going to do this. But then after the obstacle course, you had to put on the bikini and do the little posy stuff that was not me. And so I trained for it. And this was the year I was dating my husband. We both like trained, and then I did it, and I won the obstacle and the bikini division, and I was like, whoa, okay, that was fun. But the discipline, I mean, I don't know if you know a competitor, but it is 24/7. You have to be mm-hmm. on and focused and you be productive and be proactive. And I mean, you're just on all the time, and which was right up my alley.
Wow. That's awesome. And I do know a competitor. She just started, but it's very hard work. And like you said, and it's not hard, you know, work, like labor work, but when you go to the gym, it is laborious. But the diet and the amazing measurement of everything, like it's gotta be to a T in order to, like, if you want to win, right? It's you don't compete to lose, you compete to win.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you want to win, you have to follow whatever program you're following.
Yeah. And same thing in life. Like, mm-hmm. I've trained so many competitors now. And I love the journey of training, doing it before I had kids, doing it right after I had kids. I stepped back on stage to compete at the professional level when my son was 6.5 months old.
Wow.
But just training women to have that discipline, because you can apply that in any area of your life if you put your focus on it. But I've always been careful to tell them, be careful what you sacrifice on your way to success.
Mm-hmm.
That has been one of my number one things, because knowing it or not, I wasn't into self-improvement or anything like that, but I guess by nature, that's what my husband and I have both been, is helping the person and not just being the coach, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I would tell them, like, you have to make sacrifices, but you should not be taking out a home loan, a second mortgage on your home to pay for your competition. You should not be sacrificing every evening in the gym when you could be home with your kids. And for me, I would sacrifice sleep, like what I'd said, which isn't always the best, but for me at that time, and here's another long story, but when I said my son was 6.5 months old when I stepped back on stage, mm-hmm. because that was my career. I don't think you should take your son's infancy and say, okay, I'm going to go do a show, but that was my career and that's how I made money. So I would set my alarm clock for 3:45 in the morning to get my workout. Sometimes he'd wake up at 3 o'clock to nurse, and I'm like, okay, I guess I'm awake for the day because I got to get my workout 2 hours in before the rest of the family in the world wakes up and tries to need me.
Tell me about it. Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, that's where your discipline comes into play too. You know, that's what I think that a lot of people take a competition and they're training in the competition as it's a mindset thing where, you have this mindset of you're working hard for the competition, but as a byproduct of it, without even knowing, I think a lot of people develop a mindset of just discipline in life, period, in a story. And it goes beyond, you know, I'm on a 6-week challenge right now in the CrossFit world. And it comes with a lot of like meal plans and really strict stuff. And it's funny because I'm doing it not to compete, but I'm doing it so I can eat a lot of yummy food in the holidays.
<There you go. laughs>
and then get, you know, prepare to be fit so I can ruin it. But it goes beyond the 6 weeks and you're just fired up. And I think that health and fitness is such a great start if you are down in life, if you're in the lowest low, just go to the gym, you know, start small. You don't have to be a competitor right away, but I think it goes beyond the small steps and eventually it becomes such a big step. And next thing you know, you're on stage competing.
Yeah. So that's exactly true, is that keeping promises to yourself, you know, or mm-hmm. commitments or whatever you decide to do, health and fitness is very important for general life. And whether it's just waking up and doing 10-minute walk every day, you told yourself you're going to do that. You promised yourself that and you woke up and did that. And then that builds a little bit more confidence. And you can say maybe 20 minutes or maybe now I'm going to eat a good breakfast. And then you did that and you build your confidence again. So your circle's getting bigger and bigger in whatever direction you want to take that. You've built your confidence by keeping your commitments to yourself. And that's something that you can do daily, right?
Mm-hmm. So you only coach competitors. You don't coach otherwise, other people?
Nope. I'm actually coaching minimal competitors at this point. and coaching majority of general population. My husband and I have an 8-week program that we do online. So we have our own customized app, and it can be for people that just work out from home with their home dumbbells, or they work out at a commercial gym. And so we do the 8-week program, and I also do customized programs. So nutrition is a huge aspect of our business. Mm-hmm. And I do a lot of the nutrition coaching with that online. And then my husband puts together the workout. So we're doing it together, and we're tailoring towards couples and families, general population people at whatever level that they're at. And through all of our experiences with the different fields of fitness we've been in, we can tailor to most people's needs.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. You can relate to a lot of people. Yeah. Let's talk about moms and new moms, because I know that when I was a new mom, first child, I made a huge mistake of, I'm going to have another child, I'm going to let myself go. So I actually gained a lot of weight. Mm-hmm. Didn't do any workouts. I think it's a huge mistake, but you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I was working at 24-hour fitness in when I was in my early 20s and really didn't even know what I was doing. But, you know, for some reason, I was really fit looking. I was drinking a lot. I was, you know, partying a lot. But then I go to the gym. I was very disciplined. See, the one thing about me is the discipline. Mm-hmm. I got discipline down. And so doesn't matter if I partied till 2 a.m. If I say I'm going to be at the gym at 6 a.m., I'll be there, right? It's a discipline that I have down. But the being young and partying and all that was part of me at that time. And then I got pregnant and thinking, I'm real fit and I look, you know, skinny. I'm sure I'll be fine. And then after my first child, because I gained 50 pounds and, you know, only 30 comes off right away.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so depressed about my weight and so depressed about how I look, because we have the tendency to compare ourselves before having kids and then after having kids. But if you understand the anatomy of our body, when you have kids, your body changes, your pelvic bone opens up, you know, everything, especially when you have natural birth. So what advice or recommendation can you give to somebody like I was, who's like, I'm gonna have another child, so I'm eating anything and everything I can see, and I'm not gonna work out because I'm gonna gain another 30, 50 pounds anyways, and then I'll do the work after I'm done having children.
Yeah, a lot of people have that mindset. And I think it's critical to take care of yourself. Like, food is a nourishment. There's reasons why we eat real food, because they nourish your body. There's vitamins, minerals, things that you need to grow a healthy baby and to also feel your best when you're pregnant. So when you're feeling better, you're more vibrant, you're more positive, and you'll have a better pregnancy. Now, there's some things we can't control with our pregnancies, right? I did not want to eat any meat for some reason. I'm not a vegetarian and all I ate was meat before, but I talked to my doctor and I could do protein shakes or, you know, cottage cheese, figuring out ways to adjust while you're pregnant. And then also just knowing that you are starting another life, another human being. And yeah, if you're starting them on bad habits and you're nourishing them with bad habits and thinking that you can just fix it and change it is not always the best thing. I've noticed a huge difference between my daughter and my son. Both of them, I had been competing before and after, but my daughter, we had no money. We got pregnant 2 weeks after we moved to Oregon. Uh-huh. And I remember taking $20 to the grocery store and figuring out, okay, what kind of groceries can I buy for the week? Cereal is cheap, bread's cheap, the cheapest fruit is banana, eating pizzas. And my pregnancy wasn't that good with her. And then there's certain health things that she struggled with because I feel like because of the way that I was able to eat. And then my son was the opposite. I just ate tons of food and stuff. So taking into consideration that you are starting your motherhood while they're, you know, inside of you, and not doing it for, I want to be skinny and I can be skinny after and this and that. I'm not saying you were wrong, but if you are about to get pregnant now or going through the post or pre, that would be somewhat of a selfish mindset, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So for people now, just think like you need to be the best you that you can be and nourish your body and nourish your new child. So.
Wow. Wow, I've heard that before in a context to where read to your child, even when they're still in your womb.
Yeah.
And don't be swearing around your child because you think that they're in there and they can't hear and they're not yet developed. They're absorbing it as they're developing.
Absolutely.
And I never heard it in a context of the way that you explained it to, even to as deep as comparing how your daughter versus your son and how you didn't have money when you had your first daughter to now you were able to, you had more resources with your son.
Yeah.
Never heard it in that context, but it makes so much sense.
Yeah.
And that's an amazing advice for, you know, first time moms too, you know, cause I've got a lot of friends that are now first time moms, later moms too, like 30s, you know, 35, cause career firsts. Cause we have, and you say, I'm not saying you're wrong, but I think we're never wrong because in every stage of our life, we have a different mindset and a different version of us. And that version of me was always about, oh, I want to be skinny. I want to look good. And then now the version of me is like, it's not even about what you can see. It's about the internal stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. That's so cool. I love that. Nourish your child while they're still in there.
Yeah.
Read to your child while they're still in there. Don't swear around them while they're still in there.
Yeah. Well, you're creating habits and those are your own habits. You can, once you have the baby, you can be like, okay, I'm going to crack down and do this. But you're kind of creating those habits that are what you need to establish for a lifetime, right?
Yeah.
And just teaching them at a young age of how to be consistent and how to be healthy. I mean, we're going to eat for the rest of our lives. You can't avoid that, right? Yeah. So you might as well figure out how to do it properly. And there's a season, like you said, you're different versions of yourself as you grow, but there's seasons where you're dialed in, seasons where you need to be flexible, seasons where you need to be versatile with other people. And so that's what my husband and I, our company is revolved around, is like, sometimes you're in weight loss, sometimes you're in, now I want to perform. And then you gain a little bit of weight and you want to do weight loss again or muscle gain, that you're constantly recreating and evolving yourself, which you do as a parent as well. You're going to evolve. I can't treat my 13-year-old daughter and raise her the way that I raise a 7-year-old because she's not seven. So we're constantly evolving and having to adjust as our children grow.
And there's no training for it.
Absolutely.
You can't train for it.
No, but there is one thing that we can do is we can be in tune. We can to listen and take the time, look them in the eyes and read what they're not saying. Especially as a 13-year-old or a teenager, they are not going to tell you everything that they're feeling. You need to be able to be like, why is she saying it that way? What does that mean? And dig deeper and ask more questions and really let them know that you care about them, because they're not going to tell you. And that's what takes time. You know, you can't just go through the motions of being a parent. You have to put yourself in their shoes.
Yeah, it's, you know, they tend to hide a lot of secrets when they get to that age because they think they get in trouble. Or I've always told my kids, you know, I'd rather get the truth than finding out later. Mm-hmm. And then you'll get in even like 10 times trouble.
Yep.
You know, I'd rather give you one trouble than 10x the trouble later because I'm going to find out, you know?
Yep. There you go.
So I love that context that you just shared. Like, I'm still trying to absorb it and trying to savor that information because that's like a nugget I've never heard before. So thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. Yep.
How would someone, especially moms, because a lot of my listeners are moms, start if they want to compete in your world?
I would say don't just decide you want to compete now and give yourself 12 weeks because it has to be something that you grow into. It takes time to be able to adjust to everything, and especially if you're a mom, because 12 weeks is like the last crunch time. You already need to know, have the rhythm and do the thing first. So Patti, my husband and I, we encourage people to have a transformation first. And we highly recommend sustainable transformations, which is not crash dieting. It's like really applying the person and their lifestyle, what time works for them, and do they travel. So do your transformation first and see what it took to get there then create that homeostasis or that new, like, okay, this is my new norm, and your family has adjusted to that, and then go into the competition world. If you decide to, because there are sacrifices that you're going to need to make, and your family is going to need to know and support that. Mm. On the flip side, when you're getting ready to compete, you need to be careful of how you deliver your message to your children, because, and we just had this with our group. We have a private Facebook group for our clients. Mm-hmm. And they ask, like, is it too extreme that my kids see me pull up my food scale, or they see me measuring my food and tracking it? Is that too extreme? Am I sending the wrong message? Mm-hmm. And so my husband and I tell them, it is our job to teach them. Like, if your kid goes off to college, they don't know how to cook, they don't know calories, they don't know this or that, they're going to gain the freshman 15, and then they just have a lot of other issues to worry about.
Yeah.
But we need to teach them in the right way, and don't say, I have to do this, I have to weigh this. But it's more like, I want to know how much meat I'm eating, so let me see how much I'm, let me weigh that, and teach them how to do that. Same with seasons. You're not always going to be pulling out your food scale, but children need to know that. And the way you can apply it is, like, if they play sports or they're interested and they have a goal, they have practice they need to go to and measurable progress and doing fitness tests or whatever they need to do for that sport to be their best. That's why I'm measuring and tracking and finding the best for myself and my goals, right?
Wow. That's so cool. How long is the actual training? And you said 12 weeks, but you recommend they start way before that and create a way of life.
Yeah. So way before, usually it takes 12 to 16 weeks to have a transformation. Contest prep, the typical 12 weeks is, where you're dialed in, you're increasing your cardio, decreasing your calories to create a deficit. You have to learn your posing. You have to get your competition suit, you know, wow. All of that. It's very expensive as well. But it's very rewarding for people that really commit yourself to that. I mean, you go through ups and downs and crying, and every day, 1 hour, it's like, I'm going to win this. And the next hour, it's like, why did I even think I could do this? Who am I kidding? Right? So,
wow.
12 weeks is great.
It's so crazy. I watched my friend, who's also a mom, who just started competition, during her 12 week. And it's crazy to watch, because I've always wanted a six pack. To watch her, she's always been fit because she's a runner, uh-huh. But not have a six pack and still have a little bulge. But, you know, of course, for being a mom, that's like perfection already. And then to watch her from that to like lean muscles, and in 12 weeks having the six pack, it's like, wow, you can really build the six pack in 12 weeks.
Yeah, well, most people are just unshedding the six pack. A lot of people already have it, and genetic structure and bodies are different, but yeah, what you can set your mind to and be disciplined for it within that time frame is incredible. I mean, there's nothing else like it, and I love taking people through that journey. But then there's also the follow-up to that. Like, once you reach a goal, you haven't arrived. There's a new goal, and that new goal could be harder than the first, because now you're trying to reverse out of that contest prep. Now you're trying to find, like, how do I find the balance, and how am I okay with gaining a little bit of body fat back? And, you know, so it's just constantly evolving, and you always have to have the best perspective and the best outlook for your situation.
So would you say the 12 week is not sustainable?
No, not at all. So for my competitors, for figure, you need to be about 9 to 10% body fat. And once for females, once you get under 12%, you start to lose your cycle, and, you know, your hair is getting a little bit thin, you know, so that's not healthy. That's like the last couple weeks. But to get to that where you just feel incredible and phenomenal, and then have to go back up to even 14% is really low, but it's like, 1.5, you know, almost twice what you had for show.
Yeah. It's a huge difference. It's relative, you know. Yeah. Your basis was whatever, 9.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. So
it's important to be extreme. Of course, I like extreme things, but you can't be extreme all the time, especially with children. I mean, you have to sacrifice certain things. And so there has to be a season for all of it. And I've been very involved with making sure that the person is okay mentally, because a lot of people decide to compete like, oh, I'm going to get confidence in myself because I'm going to look amazing. And that's why I want to do it. That could be out the door. The second you step on stage, even though you trained to win, you can get last place. And then all of a sudden your confidence is worse than when you started. So I'm very much into coaching people throughout. Oh, wow. Like, remember the journey, remember what you've accomplished so far, remember the hard work, and don't place it only on like, I did this to win and to be confident.
How hard is the diet during that 12 weeks? Is it like chicken, broccoli, and that's it?
Well, it's different for everybody. Your first time is usually not as hard because you haven't done something like that. So your body responds really well. People who have a higher metabolism or who have already eaten pretty healthy and stuff, it does get pretty extreme. I mean, mine, and this is just me, I very often had to eat fish 4 to 5 times a day with fish and vegetables throughout the day. Very minimal carbohydrates. I would have oatmeal for breakfast. I had to do 90 minutes of cardio. So most times I would just go run for 90 minutes and then go back at night and lift. But I embraced everything. I would tell myself, it's amazing how great I feel considering what I'm eating. Or I'd use my cardio time as my office on the road. So I would brainstorm and think about my business, my company, my people. And that way I'm...
Wow, office on the road.
Yeah.
Like, you mean like while you're running and while you're doing your cardio, you're like, your mind is working. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because as a parent, you have to multitask. And as a mother, you have to be able to figure out how to do the most things possible and be as productive as possible. So I would go out, it'd be dark in the morning, I'd put my headphones on and I would run and zone out like, okay, when we started our gym, how are we going to do this? When I'm training clients, how's this person feeling? How do I need to show up for them? What do I need to hear them say? So I'd get done with my workout and come home, and my husband, I would be like, all these ideas. And he's like, wait, I just woke up.
I know, right? Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. Like, as a mother, we're already hustlers. I mean, there's like, it's a given because we have to, not because we try to, because we don't have to try. It's just like cruise control, automatic, you know? That's amazing.
And it's important that I think our children know, to me, that they know the sacrifices that we make. I wouldn't hate for my daughter when she's 30 to be like, I never knew you did that for me, because she's not learning the love and the sacrifice. Like, if I tell her, I have 15 programs to do tonight, but you just told me that it's important for you to go to the store and get this craft project, then I need to stop this for 1 hour and go do what you did. And that's a sacrifice that I'm making. Or I wake up before it's even light at 4 o'clock in the morning, because I need to be home to help you get ready for school. If your kids know that, then they feel that love and appreciation, and they start to grow that within themselves to become the parent that they need to be, or the adult that they need to be.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we segregate business and home life a lot, but it really is so similar and parallel. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of managers at work or supervisors are so great at supervising and managing that they fall apart when they get home. But if they just know that they can apply the skill set they have to manage their household. Yeah. And, you know, we talk about communication in the corporate world. Heck, if you have that communication channel the same way as you do at home and really communicate with your children like they're part of your team, because they are, you know, and say, hey, this is what I'm doing and this is a sacrifice I need to do to achieve this goal at work. But at home, it's like, okay, mom needs to be doing this in order for us to get here. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so the same way with stay-at-home moms, because I know a lot of stay-at-home moms that sort of feel inferior to other moms, because other moms may have a career and they're a hot shot in their field or industry. And then here's a stay-at-home mom that doesn't have a lot of confidence and they feel very inferior. And the podcast that I created here was really to, number one, validate people like us, you know, the hustlers, the entrepreneurs, the multitaskers, the go-getters. But at the same time, realize and understand that as a mother, you're already all that. You don't have to have a title to be like us and to evaluate and give them valuation, to let them know that it's okay what you're doing as a stay-at-home mom. And regardless of whether you have a career or not, or you have a a home-based business, mm-hmm. you are a valuable person because of the things that you already do as a mom and the things that we develop as a mom, because again, there's no training for becoming a mom. Mm-hmm. Things that we develop as a mom, we're problem solvers at home. You can apply that back to the corporate world. Mm-hmm. We're critical thinkers. We can apply that to the corporate world to gain a career. Conflict resolution, we can apply that. We're the CEO of our household. You know, it's really parallel. And I think that we need to quit dividing it between, oh, I'm just a stay-at-home mom.
Absolutely. I mean, I see a lot of my friends here in Utah are stay-at-home moms, and I admire them so much. If I didn't have to work, I would want to live the lives that they live as well, because they're managing, they're creating structure, they're creating discipline, they're creating fun and finding joy, they're taking their kids for events, they're very involved. And the thing, it's hard to be at home and be able to focus on yourself with the children, because you could be torn in so many different directions at the same mm-hmm. time, and you have to learn how to balance that attention, find who needs what at what time, and how can we all make this work cohesively as a family? So mothers that stay at home have one of the most challenging jobs in the world, right? Yeah. And so to not wallow in, I don't get the recognition, I don't get the yeah. feedback, I don't get the trophies or anything like that. Your feedback is every day when your child hugs you, when your child looks at you.
Yes, and says, "Mom," thank you for that.
Yes, all of that is your reward. And so reflect on that, because yeah. some moms don't get that. They miss their kids' activities. They miss yes. the little falling off their bike. And it's so much more rewarding to be able to be a part of that and have that in their lives.
Yeah, your husband saying, honey, this is such a great dinner. Thank you. You know, like, just, it's a different kind of recognition. I think we, a lot of us women too, we have a lot of issues, you know, negative self-talk, not believing enough in ourselves. And I'm sure it exists in the men's world too, but they're very different. They create a strong facade, but we're pretty harsh on ourselves. And I think that, you know, even the competitors too, that you help, I think that when they transition back to normal life from the 12-week program and the competition, I think it probably has, a tendency to mess them up in the mind, to where, oh, I'm not going to have that six pack anymore, or yeah. I'm going to lose the two pack, I'm just going to have the four, you know, like, do you see that happening within your clientele base?
Yeah. So I'll answer that. But on the same train of thought, what you were talking about with the mothers at home and the reward and recognition or not, I would so much more walk away feeling like I've done what I need to do in life when I get the feedback from my children than if I have a plaque on the door or if I have a trophy from this or that. The other day I was asking my son, when you're at school, do you think about mom? And he said, yeah, in the beginning part of the day, I think, what if I need mom? What if I need her help? Aww. She's helping me with reading and stuff. And to know that I do those things in the home. And so he thinks, like, I might need my mom. That wow. is way bigger trophy than having the, you know, the plaque on the door or something. So that's what mothers can take away. But then in talking about what you said, like after the show, it's important for me to let people know that there's the next goal, and it's very hard to find balance. So now our goal is not do we have the six pack, but how close to the six pack can we have and still have a free meal once a week with our kids, or with, you know, not having to go twice a day to the gym, only once, and how good can yeah. we feel with that, right? So it's creating that balance.
That's awesome. Hang on, Christy.
Yeah.
We're freezing.
Oh, there you are.
Okay. So as you were saying about the mindset transition from the competition to the, you know, the new normal of their life.
Yeah. So, and I tell people when I'm, when they're coming down, like throughout the 12 weeks, I say, now you're at 15% body fat, or you're at this weight. How do you feel? And take pictures, because they feel amazing. They're coming down, they're leaning out. So around like 15% or a certain weight, I mark that and I say, remember this, because after show, we're going to come back to that. And your goal is to try to feel the same amazing that you did then, instead of, I've gained 10 pounds, I can't see this, I can't see that. Because there, at one point, not that long ago, you were there and you felt amazing about it. So wow. Remember that.
That's so cool. That's awesome. Yeah, you know, going back to the trophy versus your kids' recognition is, I always said my kids are my little trophies in life, and there's no better trophy than them, right?
Yeah.
And then in terms of your kids, if they were listening today or to this episode, what would you tell them and what message would you tell your kids?
I think I tell them and I show them every day to find the joy in what you do, whatever your circumstances are, whether you're struggling, whether you're happy, whether you're successful, find the joy in that and know that you can have an impact in other people's lives. Even as a child, you can be help a friend up. You can find the person sitting in the cafeteria that has no one sitting there, like finding the joy in life, because no matter what you accomplish, if you lose yourself in that, or you hate the journey, or you hate what's happening to you, it's not worth the reward at the end, right? So I always tell them, and it's part, a lot of my husband's culture is finding joy in everything that you do. They're the happy people. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing that I would tell them is set your goals high, reach for the stars, but enjoy what you're going through.
Yeah. Yeah. Islanders, we don't need a lot to be happy. I don't know what it is, but it's just the maybe just the basic things that we grew up with that allows us to appreciate a lot of the things that are here in America. I grew up in the Philippines and I was 20 going on 21 when I came. So I was already an adult when I came about 18 years ago. So it's, you know, to me, I don't like to put America down, but there's a lot of people that complains a lot about nonsense and so much opportunity in this country that I think we take for granted. And I'm so thankful that I'm here, and even here now in this moment talking to you, it's a blessing. It's having your time is a blessing, and it's something that I will take with me to my grave. You know, it's like every moment I have with every single one of my guests is so important, because I get to be taught something as a listener. As an interviewer, we have to listen in order to know where to take the conversation. And a little piece of you stays with me, and a little piece of my past guest stays with me. And it really does fulfill my soul, and it makes me go to the next step. You know, it makes me go to, okay, who can I learn from next time? Because if I'm learning from you, I'm learning, you know, I'm growing. And if I'm learning from you, and I'm sure as heck a lot of other women that are listening are also learning from you. So such a great platform to really collaborate with other moms that are going for it. Because I think we have a bigger voice than we've ever had before.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I thank you for bringing me on. I mean, I've listened to your podcast, and you really have the ability to draw the right questions from people and bring people to tears and have women say things that they didn't know they were going to say because of the way that you're directing and the insightfulness that you have into their lives and helping them to be able to deliver the message that they want to. So thank you for bringing me on. And I want people to know that competitors is such a small, like a maybe 5% of what I do now. Because I'm not necessarily actively competing, and I feel like we can have a broader reach for mothers, families, couples, all of that. And because my husband and I are doing it together, is that, you know, reach out and find that support group that you need, and then our goal is to give a roadmap. And so I appreciate that you are able to help these women that are not only focused on health and fitness, but that are focused on just being a better mom, being a better person in their lives, and feeling more confident about them. Corinne, you have an awesome podcast, and I love it.
Thank you, honey. Thank you so much. So, message to your parents. What message would you tell your parents?
My parents, thank you over and over again. Like, I am who I am because of you. I grew up being a pleaser, and that's from my dad. I'm always trying to make people happy. I used to put an apron on when I was little and ask my sisters, what can I do for you?
like a server.
Yes. But I called them the other day and just say, hey, what are you doing, Mom? And she's like, oh, me and Dad are just dancing in the living room together to slow music.
Oh.
I mean, that is amazing. They were married in high school. And just to show their sheer love for each other, it brings me to tears. And so thank you, Mom and Dad, for being the people that you are and showing the strength that you have through the trials that you've had to go through.
Wow. Wow, because, you know, it's amazing to hear those kinds of relationship, because there are a lot of relationships around me, and I'm sure you probably are exposed to some other of your friends or people you know that are like, wow, you guys are divorcing because of what? That's it. That's the reason you're leaving each other. And I mean, you're bigger than that. You can overcome that, you know, things of that nature. Yeah. Because like you, Anna, as much as it was a one-man show for my mom really carried on both parents' role very well. Wow. Very, very well.
Yes.
To a point that my, you know, we're all very thankful for her. And they're still married. They're married happily. You know, my mom made a lot of sacrifice to go through a lot of crap with my dad. And, you know, we were also exposed to a lot of those. That's, you know, as a little girl, listening to all that, their struggles, and watching my mom. But because my dad was always not around, so even though we knew that he wasn't a good husband, we were more exposed to the positive that my mom brought to the table than the negative that he was bringing, because even though he was negative and everybody was aware of it, he was absentee. So it was not always present. Yeah. And the thing that was always present was my mom and how she showed up. What message do you have for your husband? I know he's right there with you. It's always good to be asked by a third party.
Yeah, exactly. My husband is everything. Like, he has been he believes in me more than I believe in myself many times. There's been, in the beginning, it was awesome and exciting when we were dating and he said, you can do this and this. And then towards the middle, I mean, we've been married 17 years. And there was a period of time for like a year or two where I was kind of down and he would be telling me to do things. And I'm like, why? You do something, you know, you do more, step up above, you know, and things like that for like a year. And then now he's still above and beyond. He's very visionary. He's very passionate, very driven, very supportive. And so I can't thank him enough for who he is and what he stands for. And together we've learned each other's strengths and weaknesses. And I mean, if we're in a little argument, I feel like my world falls apart because I love him so much and I need his support. And so I don't know what I would be doing or where I would be at if it wasn't for him. We're very different from our backgrounds, but our differences bring us together and what makes us versatile and happy.
Yeah, you just become one. And I think that if you can overcome a lot of your daily struggles or weekly or whatever struggles that comes your way as a couple, I think eventually you start adjusting and you become that one unit, and you're like, wow, you were thinking of that. I was thinking of that too. You know, you start really being spiritually connected with each other more than anything.
Yeah. And we do so much together. Like, people know us as Patti and Christy, like, you know, it's everything we do together. And that's why we want to be able to have an impact on couples, is because you can be very different, but be very much one in this, in the purpose and in beliefs. And so that's what we are. And it's, I mean, we have no question as far as, everybody knows I'm married, everybody knows he's married, and it just is a wonderful life to be able to do what we do together.
That's so cool. I love what you guys represent, and I love that you guys are working together. You know, it's never going to be perfect, but you make it perfect for yourself, and that's the most important part. Yep. You know, I want to commend you and your husband Patti. Mm-hmm. And what you guys are building together is going to make a difference. And I know you're going next level and next level and next level and next level, and you'll never give in for people, because I think that people like you and me and your husband, we lead with service, right?
I mean, you've been leading with service since you were a kid, putting your apron on. So,
you know, and when you do that, it really is just inevitable. You just start making impact, and it's the ripple is just, it just grows, and it, you don't even know where it ends, and it, because it's probably never going to end.
Yeah.
So thank you for showing up the way you guys do. And I appreciate what you do. I appreciate our friendship now that we're starting this, because you become my friend and I become your friend after this, because you'll never forget each other's connection during. It's so crazy how the connection becomes so much more solid after we have the conversation, even when we'd never had a relationship before. It's almost like instantaneous.
Well, I feel like I know you because through your stories, you're so who you really are. Like, I see your mom fails when you forgot about the conference, and you brought your son to the nail appointment, and, you know, things like that. Like, you're being real, but you're not saying like, oh, let me just, today's a horrible day, you know?
Yeah.
You relate to people. And so I feel like I already know you, and I'm glad that we have a friendship.
That's so cool. Well, let's hear it. Where can we find you? Where can they find your 8-week program? And, you know, your social media, which one do you hang out the most?
Mostly on Instagram. I do both Facebook and Instagram, and it's Kristi Tauti, KristiTauti. So Kristi Tauti on Instagram and Facebook. We have 8-week program and customized programs, so we can tailor to a lot of people.
Awesome. And do you have a website for that?
We're working on it because our former website was our gym, and we.
That's right.
Gym, so we're working on our website, which will be out next year.
Awesome. Hey, Kristi, thank you so much again. And I can't wait for everybody to hear your story and to hear what you're all about, because there's a lot of nuggets here. Listening to it, because I listen to my episodes probably at least 5 times for every single one of them.
Yeah.
And every single time I listen to it, I learn something new. So thank you.
Excellent. Well, thank you for inviting me on. I'm glad that we're able to both help mothers out there to be the best mother hustler that they can.
Yes. Congratulations on all your success, and you have an awesome day.
You too. Thanks, Kree. Bye.
All right, sisters, thank you so much for listening and always supporting the Being Mother Hustler podcast every single episode, every single week. I know most of you take screenshots of these episodes and share it all over your social media outlet. And for some of you that's left us a 5-star review, from the bottom of my heart, I'm so super grateful for you. Make sure you follow us on Spotify and subscribe to the show on iTunes. And it would mean the world to the entire Mother Hustler Nation community if you wrote us a 5-star review. Because I'm telling you, this is not about me. This is not about you. It's about all of us in the community inspiring each other, learning from each other, and not allowing each other to make any excuses to chase our dreams. I swear I read those reviews and it fuels me to my core, makes me cry for great reasons. So I so look forward to reading those reviews. As always, sisters, don't forget to give, serve, live, and love. Have a mother hustling day.